Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 18th of the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you know, the checks and balances are brilliant. As you also know that we believe in God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. Thus, Liberty Roundtable Live kicks off once again, hard-hitting talk. 6 days a week on the Sabbath, we rest. And when the corona takes us down, we take a little bit of a rest, too. How's that? Welcome to the broadcast, Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, then our guest and hard-hitting talk about the credibility crisis of the mainstream press in bed with government at unprecedented levels. First, we had on Pete Sepp, national president of the National Taxpayers Union. He's the voice of American taxpayers. NTU.org doing a phenomenal job, and he issued an incredible press release. I've watched Pete Sepp for over 25 years, and I've never seen him issue this before. Pete, quote, "I am emailing you, Sam, with an urgent call to action to stop tax hikes. Urgent. New taxes on the horizon. The numbers are staggering. The numbers are mind-boggling. A staggering $9.1 trillion being proposed in new spending. That's literally over $27,000 per U.S. resident in less than 2 years of increased spending. And then we also talked about food stamps getting the biggest increase in history. Yeah, you put that all together, and it is a mind-boggling spend of extreme proportions. Pete Sepp has never issued a press release so poignant going, folks, this insanity has got to stop on the tax front from the general level of government all the way down to your local dog catcher. You better get a handle on your taxes, because if you don't, it's going to absolutely eviscerate the economy. Anyway, Pete came on emergency broadcast yesterday to talk about that. I've never seen him do something like that before, ever. So this is serious business indeed. Second hour, we talked about CNN's chief international correspondent, Clarissa Ward. This lady is a piece of work. I mean, a whacked out liberal, psychotic. I just can't believe this is the propaganda in the media at an all-time high, folks. She says they're just chanting death to America, but they're like super friendly, she says. What kind of crack is this woman smoking? We'll get into that with our guest in a second. I want to highlight that. Wow. Trump calls for Joe Biden's resignation over the situation in Afghanistan, the border crisis, the tremendous surge in COVID-19 cases, all kinds of issues with the environment and the economy and the border, and it goes on and on. We also talked about look out for H.R. 4980. This is a whacked out bill put before Congress about 13 days ago now. It's called H.R. 4980. It will direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that originates and or terminates in the United States is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and for other purposes. Are you kidding me right now? Literally out of control. Thank heavens there's no co-sponsors, but that is sitting in the House hopper now. We also then interviewed our incredible guest. We interviewed him at Freedom Fest. We didn't have time to run the interview live at the time, and then I got sick, and so this interview was delayed a little bit. But man, Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times. Joshua Phillip is an award-winning investigative reporter. He's also host of Crossroads for the Epoch Times. And man, he did a great job on the radio. Great interview with Josh Phillips on Liberty Roundtable Live. Or I should say Phillip. It's not an S on the end. Sorry, Josh Phillip. We also talked about, at the end of the hour, investigating Tesla's autopilot. I want to get our guests coming on that, too. So there you have it, man. That's the intro. That's the broadcast that took place yesterday. Still available at LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. Every penny you donate will grow our presence in the media, though, so your support is absolutely critical. And that's a wrap. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. In the hopper with me, co-host James Edwards, well known for his own talk show and more. He's really deals with race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America, ladies and gentlemen. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website, his award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on your radio, and of course, throughout the week at your convenience on demand. He's also the book, or the author, I should say, of Racism, Schmacism. Boy, howdy, did that book need to be updated. Racism, Schmacism, Vaccinationism. it could all go around the barn. Welcome to the broadcast, James.
Sam, it's great to be back with you. I mean, really great to be back with you. I guess we can't take anything for granted anymore, but man, a lot is going on. A lot has happened since our date together a month ago in July.
Amen to that. There's so much to discuss. I first want to discuss this whacked out CNN reporter. All right, she's the chief international CNN correspondent. Her name is Clarissa Ward, and she literally went on air, and she's like, yeah, they're chanting death to America, but they sound so friendly. I mean, is this lady off her, or, I mean, what crack is she smoking?
Well, you know, like I always say, Sam, if you can't trust the media, who can you trust? If you can't trust corporate America, who can you trust? So it has been very interesting to watch, I think deliciously interesting to watch the regime's reaction, the empire's reaction, the media's reaction to what's going on in Afghanistan. And to be honest with you, as a patriot, as a nationalist, as someone who loves my people and the founding stock of this country and the history of this country, I love to see what's happening right now to the empire. It shows that corrupt regimes can be injured. And to quote our good friend Sonny Landham from Predator, if it bleeds, we can kill it. And America needs to be knocked down a few pegs. And there's a lot of things going on, of course, in Afghanistan that nobody would ever know. I mean, the facts of what who those people are and the history of that country. And again, these are no friends of ours. I mean, these are Muslims. They are anti-Christian. They are anti-West, although I have become increasingly anti-West in terms of this, what the West has become, this decadent, bloated, corrupt, degenerate place now.
Yeah, we may be anti-West, but entirely different reasonings, right?
Yes, yes. Well, Of course. I mean, but these the Muslims, the radical Muslims have certainly been an enemy of Europeans and of Christianity going back to Christ. I mean, you can go back to the 8th century and Charles Martel. I mean, for centuries and centuries. So I'm not cheering necessarily for the Taliban or anything like that, but I do like to see in a way what has happened here. For a lot of different reasons, and it's a multi-layered onion. But you mentioned one of these things in your recap. I mean, the thing about Donald Trump basically taking Biden to task. Now, I don't think you or anybody listening to this program should have any misunderstanding about my opinion of Joe Biden. But why is Trump criticizing him for actually being able to do what Trump promised he was going to do in 2016 when he was initially running against Hillary Clinton? That's a head scratch. And you see this from a lot of Republicans who were probably politically backing up Trump because they thought it could further their interests at the time. We can't forget, Sam, that when he was initially running, there was the two issues that really set him apart from the pack in that crowded Republican primary field. That was immigration and withdrawing from all of these unconstitutional, insane wars that the neocons like George W. Bush got us in. And that was a big issue, and it's what catapulted him to the presidency. And now he's basically taking Biden to task for doing exactly what he had said he wanted to do. It's like when they were in power and wanted to do it, it was okay. But when it happens under the watch of a Democrat who, again, is no friend of ours, and I'm not, you can give the devil his due, or you can say blind hog finds an acorn, every now and then. I don't understand why, though, because it just so happened to happen under Biden's watch that this is all of a sudden a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm glad America's out of there.
Well, and the problem, as I have mentioned on the radio about this, what the Republicans want to do is hand the chopped off head, if you will, to Biden, saying, you know what, you guys really boogered this thing up. But look, the problem isn't that we left so quickly and that there's a vacuum and that there's a sweep in and it's shocked everybody, this shock and awe from the Taliban or whatever else. The fiasco was going in the first place. The George Bush started this thing. Presidents on both sides of the aisle have owned this thing for literally decades. We've spent literally trillions of dollars. Loss of life is at alarming highs on this thing. It's been a disaster from the get-go. Now the Taliban has all our military hardware and everything else as a result. And you can't just hand this to Biden and act like, oh, Joe, you blew it, buddy. We were all doing awesome over there. It was incredible until, Joe, you just got kind of goofy and left and stuff. Look, that we created Homeland Security around this lie. We invaded countries around this lie.
Yes.
We've had the pro-war military-industrial complex ramped up for decades over this lie. And let's not let the hawkish folks pretend that so-called the doves in this case or whatever else are the enemy or you know, own this one. They all own it. And more importantly, Congress jettisoned their responsibility. This has never been a declared appropriate war. They've handed it to the president. When it goes great, they all like to applaud themselves. When it goes bad, they want to play the blame game. This is nothing different, and they all need to own this thing, and shame on them all, in my opinion, for immoral, unconstitutional, ungodly, unjust war. We'll talk about that with James Edwards coming up in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live Talk Show.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards, Sam Bushman, live on your radio, hard-hitting talk, talking about the, Taliban? This whacked-out girl from CNN, man, I'm telling you right now, goofy as all get out. Hey, they're talking death to America, but they seem really friendly. And then she has the audacity to continue on and go, hey, do you think women are going to be okay with this change? Do you think women are going to be all right, be able to go to school and, you know, abort babies and just murder everybody and just run around and do all that women do under the, quote, feminist Nazi agenda and stuff? And they're just like, oh, yeah, we'll be kind to women. Oh, yes, ma'am. I don't mean to laugh and be cavalier about this, James, but the whole discussion is insanely absurd.
Of course, all right. Sam, there's so much I've got to say about this. I don't know what your plans are for the show. I could spend both hours on this and we'd never run out of gas. This is the topic right now. And there's so many different angles from which I want to attack this story. But let me first go back to this with regards to the filth that America was pumping into Afghanistan. I mean, they were trying to infect it with the same outlandish extreme liberalism that they've infected our own population with. And to their credit, the Muslims rejected it. I mean, they had always rejected it. And historically speaking, I mean, of course, Afghanistan has a reputation for taking care of empires going back to the time of Alexander the Great. I mean, this is just, that's just a place that you're not going to win at in some sort of occupational capacity. And our culture, our historic culture, back when our culture was something to be proud of, wasn't compatible with theirs. And certainly this filth that represents our culture now, at least according to the system and the regime, their mouthpieces in the media, it's certainly not compatible with what's going on in Afghanistan. Now, Sam, you have been to some of my conferences for my radio program, and you've met hundreds of our supporters and donors and the people who appreciate the work that we do on the programs of this network enough to take their, in some cases, their annual vacation just to come and have the chance to meet me and to meet you. And you've met these people. And I'm sure you would agree that these people are almost to a man and to a woman and to a family, Christian. They love America. They love our history. They pay their taxes. They work hard. These are good people, salt of the earth people. Would you agree with that?
Without a doubt, to a person. No doubt about it.
And
great,
so,
wonderful, solid people might be attacked by the world for their views of being nationalists, of believing in the United States of America, and believing in their European history, their European ancestry, etc. Celebrating that, not having any hostility to anyone else in their quest to celebrate their heritage, nevertheless being slaughtered for it because the only people that can't do that is white people. Other than that, the reality stands true. For what it is, which means, you know what, these people love their God, love their family, love their country, love their history, love their origins, love their heritage, and that's what they're celebrating and standing for, just like any other culture gets to do. Sadly, the white people in America, the traditionalists, those who built this country, those who have a uniquely American heritage traced from European ancestry, they're the only ones not allowed to do this. And so other than that contrast that the mainstream press lies about, these are some of the best people on the planet.
Well, thank you for saying that, Sam.
And that doesn't down any other race or any other people, by the way. So those of you who get that in your head, stop. We're not saying that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you saying what you said. It means a lot coming from you. But there's a reason I brought that up. The reason I brought that up was to preface what I'm about to say. So the people who follow me on Twitter are by and large the audience of this program, of course. And I put a poll up when Kabul fell and the war was basically over, this 20-year occupation, whatever you want to call it. And I did a poll, a Twitter poll. And it was widely circulated. It was widely retweeted and widely liked. And so a lot of people got some eyeballs on this thing. And there was hundreds of votes in this poll. And the question was, which group is more morally upright? And according to my audience, the results were pretty staggering here. The choices were the United States government or the Taliban. And at a rate of 92.8%, the respondents answered that the Taliban was more moral than the United States government. And this gets back to your point. The point is that these people are not our friends, and the people who answered that poll understand that the Taliban are not allies, they're not compatible with Western Christian culture. But when compared to what we've got here, and this goes back to what you're talking about with the media's reaction to this, I saw a tweet and I had to go, you know, people can say the same things with totally different inferences. And I saw this tweet from a reporter, and I had to go and see who this person was to see if he was looking at this favorably or as some sort of a catastrophe. And he wrote, and of course, in his eyes, this was supposed to be bad, but the Taliban has announced their political agenda for Afghanistan, and it includes the following things, Sam, and this goes to your point that you made at the top of this segment. Abortion is banned. Gay marriage is outlawed. A rejection of science, so writes this reporter. And what I'm sure he's talking about is, or what in their, what the context is they don't believe we came from monkeys. They don't believe in this climate change. They don't believe in this coronavirus narrative. No separation of church and state, and religion is taught in schools. Now, that is all things I can get 100% behind if you substitute Christianity for Islam. So I look at that, and this is why, you know, the people who responded to the poll responded in the way that they did. And yes, they were pumping in that same sort of subversive ideology. A story from Reuters was bragging just a few weeks ago about how Kabul University was now offering Afghanistan's first master's degree in gender and women's studies. Well, I'm pretty sure that class has now been canceled, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for those people. Those people didn't want this Western corrupt ideology. These people were almost to a man and woman Muslims, and it was just never going to happen. And so again, I look at the fact that, hey, this empire is not impervious, and that unique cultures can exist and thrive. And you look at these people, and with basically, they defeated, the Afghanis defeated the Soviet attempt to install communism, and now they have defeated the United States attempt to install LGBT and BLM ideology. And you're talking about people armed with not much more than rifles did this. That's something to really ponder about.
And it's not only something to ponder about. Let me be very clear. Let me take a step back so nobody misunderstands what we're saying. Because what they love to do is take what we say and just manipulate it till the cows come home and pervert our focus. We're not saying we agree with the Taliban in any way. We're not saying we agree with the Muslim religion or the Muslim way of life in any way. Okay, we're not at all attempting to put them in any way above the United States or our beliefs in the supreme law of the land and the Constitution and God, family, and country, and Christianity, and everything else. We're not at all upending that discussion. So don't get any psychotic ideas that we are, because that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It isn't true. However, we are smart enough, and I've highlighted this on Liberty Roundtable Live many a times, James, many a times. This is not about people. This is about principle. All right, and what we want to do is be on the right side of principle every single time for every discussion on the planet, because then we're not attacking individuals. We're not taking divisionary and divide and conquer tactics. We're simply uniting on principles that matter. And when the Muslims say we don't want our women perverted into feminazi, murdering their babies, free sex, free love, run around, do whatever you want, ideologies, ignore God, we agree with them. Not because we want to put women in burqas and only let you see their eyes, but because we fundamentally understand that, listen, God ordained man as males. God ordained women as females. And this reality check is God's law. And we stand with the truth of God's law on male and female. And we believe that God brought male and female together for complementary, not divisionary purposes. And we believe that women should be treated with respect and dignity and honor as daughters of God Almighty, no doubt about it. But we also believe that there's extremes. Extreme on one hand is turn every woman into a floozy, turn every woman into a feminazi, all on the altar that she can do anything she wants to on the planet with her body, and who can ever tell her not to. Jettison all societal norms. We reject that extreme. We also reject the extreme that women need to be so covered up you can barely see their eyes, and you know, we need to, as some cultures do, modify their feet so they can't walk around, or, you know, there's all kinds of cultural manipulate their genitals and everything else kind of stuff that is extreme that we reject also. But let's be very clear. When we say we don't want the smut in our society, neither do the Muslims. They're right. When we say we don't want these divisionary tactics about gender bender views, they're right. Okay, so can we be smart enough to issue by issue, principle by principle, literally take things that are relevant and apply them appropriately and do so in a way that holds the moral high ground? And that's our attempt. When we get back, we'll have James respond to that. This is a significant topic in America, because what's going to happen now with the Taliban rising and America failed? China is fixing to recommend and acknowledge and celebrate and acknowledge the Taliban. What happens then? A new world, folks, coming your way, I'll tell you right now.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, said Tuesday he will hold hearings into the flawed U.S. troop withdrawal of Afghanistan. Mr. Menendez is one of three top Democrats who head Senate committees who vowed to investigate the Afghanistan exit debacle. The Texas Supreme Court ruled Tuesday evening the state's House Democrats can be arrested if they don't attend the state capitol due to their efforts to stop voting integrity legislation. The court has already blocked lower court orders in Travis and Harris counties protecting the Democrats. Tropical Storm Grace hit Haiti Monday into Tuesday, complicating rescue efforts following Saturday's earthquake that left nearly 2,000 people dead, over 10,000 injured, and tens of thousands homeless. The rapidly growing Caldor Fire in Northern California prompted mandatory evacuation orders overnight as it burnt homes in and around the El Dorado County town of Grizzly Flats. USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The Pentagon reported Tuesday the main airport in Kabul, Afghanistan had been secured by the 82nd Airborne and other military personnel. Exit flights are planned to continue through the end of the month as the Taliban has retaken the country from Afghan forces. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau has more.
The U.S. military has received assurances from the Taliban that they will not interfere with operations at the Kabul airport. Major General Hank Taylor, who is a senior official with the Pentagon Joint Chiefs of Staff, said they're picking up the pace of the airlift.
We predict that our best effort could look like 5,000 to 9,000 passengers departing per day.
On the first day of the airlift, there was a breakdown of security as hundreds of Afghans tried to climb on a C-17 transport plane as it took off from Kabul. Video from the scene showed two people falling from the plane to their death, but another was later found dead in a wheel well. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the Taliban. China fixing to back the Taliban virtually, acknowledging the Taliban now that they've taken over. That has serious world repercussions we'll get into in a second. But, James, I'm making the point that, you know, we can stand on principle. We can stand up for what's right. We can avoid these extremes. And we can do so in fidelity to all that we hold dear, our heritage, our God, our family, our country, our American traditions, our way of life, our Constitution. We can stand on the national stage worldwide with these sacred principles, holding the light upon a hill of Christianity. And we can do so and agree with those whom we disagree with on occasion, when justified, based on principle, but reject the extremes and reject the false narrative, oftentimes, more often from those in our own, quote, spheres or homeland. We can stand on principle every time, can't we?
What you're hearing right now, Sam, let me put it into sharp focus. What people are hearing on this radio program right now, this discussion between me and you, it's called a grown-up conversation. This, what you hear now, this shrieking, the Republicans say it's bad because the Democrats did it, and the entire media is saying it's bad. It's not bad. You have to be able to look at this from a nuanced point of view. As you said, the mistake was made in 2001 from us going over there to begin with. This is a part of the world that has been chewing up and spitting out empires for as long as history has been recorded, from Alexander to the Soviet Union. America was no different. And by the way, Gorbachev even said, hey, this was inevitable. I could have told you this was going to happen. But we can look at this and we can say, I understand why this happened, and let's talk about it, and let's come together in reason, as our Lord instructs us to do, and take a look at this and have a conversation about it. That doesn't mean that we're in support of the Taliban over the United States or whatever, but we could say, hey, you know, in some ways, they're more moral than we are. In fact, there was a collection of headlines that was put together under the banner that read A Modern War Story. And here's some headlines from just not too very long ago. This is all from establishment organs. The importance of a pride flag in Afghanistan. Thanks to the extraordinary progress on gay rights in the U.S. military, images are taking shape in Afghanistan that once could have never been imagined. It's talking about how great it is that you can see gay pride flags in Afghanistan. Another one.
See, what? Let me just stop you there. What a disgrace. What a shame. What a blight on America, the land of the free, the home of the Christian. What a shame.
And that was the American military, by the way, that was bringing that in, okay? And the American government. From the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, at U.S. Embassy Kabul, their official blue check-marked Twitter handle, it reads, the month of June, this was just 2 months ago, by the way, is recognized as LGBTI Pride Month. The United States respects the dignity and equality of so blah, blah, blah. And it talks about how they're proud to have the gay pride flag flying at the embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. Another one talks about U.S. embassies worldwide now displaying the BLM flags and how that was flying in Afghanistan. And then the final headline was from August 15th, just 3 days ago, American flag taken down at U.S. embassy in Kabul. Well, again, these people didn't want any part of that. And who could blame them? I see there's been some videos that have come out since the Taliban have retaken, frankly, their country. This is the country they wanted to rule, Afghanistan, and Afghanistan wanted them to be the rulers. And to your point, I think even Joe Biden's press secretary said the other day, the Taliban needs to decide now what kind of leaders they want to be on the world stage. This thing is over, so we might as well come to grips about it and take a look at what this means going forward. But I'm seeing videos of Afghanis taking televisions and beating them with a sledgehammer. Hey, Americans should be doing that. But here's a poll, and this goes to show why this was a fool's errand from Jump Street. A poll: the population of Afghanistan is 99.7% Muslim, okay? And a Pew poll of Afghan Muslims found this: 99% want Sharia to be the law of the land, 85% want adulterers to be stoned, 81% want thieves' hands chopped off, 79% want apostates executed. So again, a lot of that seems radical to us, and it is, but
well,
it just goes to show.
Hold on. Do we want those things? No, we don't.
Right. I mean, listen, I am not for, obviously, anything other than God-ordained marriage. I think I have more common ground with this on some levels. I don't want our women to be perverted. I want the family structure to be perverted. They're coming at this from a Muslim point of view. I'm coming at it from a Christian point of view. But I think we both reject this secular liberalism that the United States has on offer. But no, so the stuff I just read, though, no, I mean, obviously, that's a bridge too far for me. But it just goes to show how, again, completely incompatible Western liberal democracy was for this part of the world. And the only thing that propped up this whole experiment for so many years was the blood and treasure of the American people. This whole thing, and frankly, you know, Sam, what it was at the end of the day, it was people like Dick Cheney getting rich. It was all about the money from the beginning. Who would want what America has on offer? But $2 trillion, and 300,000 troops that were supposedly working with the American occupation government over there, and or this puppet government that had been installed. I could tell you, and they caved within what, like 10 hours? It was all over. I mean, they didn't even fight. I don't even know if there was even any many shots fired. But with $2 trillion,
well, because,
and 300,000 troops.
Hold on, let's be clear. Let's be clear when you say they didn't fight. Fight for what?
Right. I mean, look, the people who were going along.
I don't mean to be strange about this, but fight for what? Fight for the gay and lesbian agenda? Fight for the perversion on gender? Fight for women to murder their babies? That's the Western way of,
there you go,
of dishonesty,
there you go,
and immorality. Fight for what, James? Fight for their way of life and their belief systems? Fight for what would they be fighting for? To be
you
free?
Had,
to be free like Americans, to be locked down in your house because you won't take a vaccination? That kind of free? To fight for what?
Amen. See, this is the point. Sam, you nailed it right there. I think everything we've been stabbing at I don't think we've been stabbing blindly. I think we've given a pretty concise and succinct treatment here. But I think what you said just there goes to show that's right. Now, listen, obviously there were collaborators who enriched themselves by going along with the Americans' plan. I think one of the government leaders, you know, absconded in a helicopter with a suit, you know, with a helicopter full of cash. And so there were people like that who were going along with it so long as, you know, they were getting rich from it. But ultimately, even they, I'm sure, in their hearts had a problem saying, hey, this is what's really good for our people. And so it just all fell like a house of cards. But with $2 trillion and 300,000 troops, I could do a hell of a lot better than what I saw them doing. But you're right. I mean, they just didn't want it. And the idea that a people could experience liberalism and democracy and then choose Sharia law anyway is so horrifying to Western liberals that they won't even consider it a possibility. They're just going to carry on. And this is what the media is doing, assuming that Afghans really want this corrupt anti-religion liberal democracy no matter what. But they don't. And that's the truth. And that's the end of it all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I say fight for what? And I really want that to be in your mind, because the sad part is when the mainstream press talks and you and I listen and think, you know, we think we're fighting for, we think we're aligned in our goals. Hey, we want women to be free to choose as they will. We want people to be able to vote. We want people to be able to worship Jesus Christ. We want people to be able to go to school and get educated. We want to, okay, all these things that you may take for granted, ladies and gentlemen, that you believe is worth fighting for, those things were not happening in that country anyway. Okay, it was a perverted agenda. It was the gay and lesbian agenda promoted and shoved down the throats of the people there. It wasn't a, we're going to learn about Christianity mode. It wasn't a, we're going to learn about the United States Constitution, learn how to elect representatives, rejecting democracy and standing on a constitutional republic. It wasn't a discussion of checks and balances, a discussion about how to hold government responsible and accountable for their actions in a limited way that the United States does. None of those things were being discussed or implemented or on the table at all, James. Zero of them. And let me tell you how you know how unjust of a war it is. When we are running into other people's countries and other people's lands chasing a war, you know that it's got to be immoral. Why are we in their country, on their turf, their soil, their fomenting our agenda in the first place? And that assumes that our agenda even is justified or moral or correct or right, which in reality we now see that it has not been over the last 20 years. But what makes us think that we could chase somebody into their own lands and have a just war? Go read your Bible. That never works out well, James. Never.
It's a great point, Sam. And again, to assume, as the American regime, the American system wanted us to assume, that we did this all with goodness in our hearts and we were just trying to bring them our way of life. But why would they want that? They don't want that. They didn't want that then. They don't want it now. And that's why they fell like ripe fruit back into the arms of the Taliban once the more heavily armed and heavily funded American occupation army left. And it was a matter of hours. It was just incredible to watch. I mean, you really saw the empire take a black eye. And as we sit right now in the year 2021, the Taliban's reputation is ascending on the world stage while America's is receding.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a sad tale to tell. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Sam Bushman, James Edwards having a grown-up conversation, ladies and gentlemen, about the Taliban. China to now recognize the Taliban. The United States literally loses the moral high ground, ladies and gentlemen. We lost it when we went in. Don't be fooled into thinking we just lost it now because of Joe. And we lost it when we go into these immoral, unjust wars in the first place, advocating for agendas that are contrary to Christian principles, ladies and gentlemen. And whenever you chase nations into their own lands for a military conquest or a military agenda or takeover or whatever, you know that it's unjust. Why are we chasing them into their lands in the first place, ladies and gentlemen? Now listen to this very carefully. I want you to really understand this. Now National Security Advisor, guy's name is Jake Sullivan, he confirmed that the Taliban has seized a fair amount of U.S. military hardware and equipment in Afghanistan, adding that the United States is unsure where much of the military hardware is gone. Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan left literally billions of dollars worth of firearms, vehicles, Black Hawk helicopters, and other military equipment in the hands of the Taliban. Now, don't worry. It was intended to be used for the Afghan government there now, don't you know? Okay, this is just psychotic. And now we've armed them to the teeth. Now they've taken the helm. China recognizing the Taliban. You're going to see a different world, James.
No, it's changing before our very eyes. And I think that what you just read is probably, to me, the worst thing about it all, is because I paid for all that hardware. You know, we're the taxpayers. We paid for all that, not just to give it away. And so that's a shame. But just to summarize everything we've been talking about this hour, that this whole thing, this media narrative that the withdrawal was botched, it wasn't botched. I mean, I guess it was in a way in terms of losing all of that equipment, and it could have been done more orderly, but it's better that it happened this way, because otherwise the Pentagon would have just found an excuse to keep thousands of troops in Afghanistan forever, like we do in Japan or in South Korea or in Germany. And the only thing that has happened here is that a corrupt government, and here's the thing, with zero legitimacy, which was always rotten to the core, has fallen. And make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, this whole adventure into Afghanistan was done for one reason and one reason alone. It wasn't because of 9/11. I mean, that was the excuse, of course. It wasn't because of bin Laden. It wasn't because of any of these things. It was to enrich the military-industrial complex. That's what it was for. That was the first reason, and that was the last reason. Now, what has been accomplished here? What do we see? The political establishment is seething. The corporate media is seething. The neocons are seething. The Pentagon has been exposed as incompetent and learned nothing from Vietnam. The intelligence community has been exposed and humiliated. It's a huge blow to the American empire. Not the America that we know and love, ladies and gentlemen, but the regime, the corrupt government. And it's going to weaken it elsewhere, which is good. It's good for real Americans. And we're out of Afghanistan once and for all and for real. So what's not to like? The Taliban has seized control of the state television over there. The pride flag has been taken down. Women are going to not be injected with this corrupt and anti-family feminism that we have here. And homosexuals are, again, the homosexual lifestyle is again being frowned upon in Afghanistan. Mitch McConnell, though, Mitch McConnell, Ben Sasse, Mitt Romney, they think we should be outraged by this and stay in Afghanistan forever to protect liberal democracy. It's their country, not our country. It's their problem, not our problem. The Taliban represents Afghanistan, not the puppet government that the United States had put in there. And I say this, Sam, about people like Romney and McConnell and Sasse. If they want to fight the war so bad, if they believe in it so much, they need to get over there. They should have been the ones over there. Why don't they get over there if they believe in the cause so much? Of course they don't. They don't believe in it. So I'm not sorry we're out of Afghanistan. I doubt the vast majority of the country is sorry we're out of Afghanistan. Certainly this was an issue, again, we got to go back to, that Trump ran on, that really separated him from the pack of the Republicans. Up until Trump in 2016, every Republican was in favor of these globalist interventionists. That was one thing that the Democrats, for whatever reason, got right, that the Republicans weren't getting right. And there's plenty of reasons to be angry with Joe Biden, but this isn't one of them.
And let's be very clear about this. We're not happy we're out of the Taliban or out of Afghanistan in the sense that we left a vacuum and there's people in harm's way. Okay, let's be very clear about
that.
Way we left was a disaster, no question. Anybody in their right mind, from attorney general, or I'm sorry, from military generals on down, could have seen the way that Joe intended the extraction or the leaving to happen was a disaster. So I'm not suggesting in any way that
although
went about
Sam,
that correctly.
No, just very quickly, except for, I mean, again, who do you trust? Do you trust our media and the way they're presenting it, or do you trust what you're getting from other sources and other media in other parts of the world? Allegedly, and I don't know if this is true or not true, but allegedly the Taliban had tried to communicate and encourage the United States to take a slower withdrawal and to do it in a more orderly fashion. Now, again, I don't know if that's true or if that's not true, but it was the United States who basically just took their rocks and wanted as much upheaval as possible on the way out, and that the Taliban was actually asking them to do this in a more orderly withdrawal to sort of limit this. And I don't know exactly how much true upheaval there was. I mean, we've all seen the footage.
But here's
of the
my take. It doesn't matter if the Taliban's right. It doesn't matter if we should have done it slower or faster. Here's the deal. In America, we believe no people should be left behind. And we left an absolute vacuum where all kinds of people are in jeopardy and everything else, and propaganda's everywhere, and it's really hard to know who, what, when, where, why. So I'm not defending that, except I am saying that our execution to leave was wanting, to say the least. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we should have never been there in the first place. And nobody, from hawkish to dove, in the middle, anywhere else, is saying this but me. We should have had a humble foreign policy that Rand Paul and Ron Paul and many other true, honest, moral conservatives have. We should have had a George Washington-esque, the greatest general, in my opinion, ever known in America, in the history of the world, greatest tactician there to understand when to lose, when to run, when to fight, when to engage, when to... I mean, this guy was brilliant. He had a humble foreign policy that said, look, we don't need these foreign entanglements. We ought never be there in the first place. Let's lead by example. Let's lead by Christian principle. Let's turn to God Almighty, who will then, if we repent, heal our land and protect us. Let's trust in the arm of God, not in the arm of flesh. Let's not provoke nations. Let's not... And okay, this is the real message that needs to get out on this. And I don't care if you want to talk about some wacko general somewhere that's a hawkish, you know, Republican, whatever, or an extreme liberal Joe Biden that leaves a vacuum. Okay, all this is poppycock. The truth is in the fundamental policy that the United States should have, that would be founding father-esque, that separate Afghanistan for a quick second, would get us out of about 130 plus nations militarily speaking now. When are we going to be the peace-loving light on a hill? And when are we going to decide we're not a warlike people? When are we going to decide we're rejecting the military-industrial complex funded by dishonest fake money? When are we going to stand up and call a spade is what I would say, James. Do I need a little more mojo for the cause?
No, you've got it, Sam. You've got it all, and you've got it in spades. And it's like the great late American diplomat Kenny Rogers used to say, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. But that's a lesson that the military-industrial complex, of course, hasn't learned because of all the wrong reasons. We started this hour talking about the CNN journalist and, they're shouting down debt to America, but they're so nice about it. The journalists are saying that this is the worst thing
that
has happened
since
all of Saigon. But they never bring
friendly murderous Taliban.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
This same media is saying this is the worst thing that has happened since the fall of Saigon. But they never bring up the fact that Saigon, or it's Ho Chi Minh City now, and Vietnam are doing fine. I mean, if you've actually watched a video or some
sort
of documentary.
It's the next mecca for industrial output, isn't it, James?
It's incredible. You would never believe what Ho Chi Minh City looks like now. They never bring up that fact. The war which devastated Vietnam and which cost tens of thousands of American lives and which was led by technocrats, that was the real tragedy. The tragedy was being there, going there, just the same as Afghanistan. The same is true of Afghanistan. It was always a grift from the top to the bottom. It was a grift. And sure, there were massacres and reprisals after we left Vietnam, but that's how these things always shake out after wars, which have gone on for decades. If you're a collaborator with the invader, bad things happen. It's a shame. It's sad. Nobody likes to see that kind of stuff. But it is wars which create the bitterness and the displaced waves of refugees. The idea that we could transform Iraq or Afghanistan into the United States was always laughable. The American occupation was an unsustainable blip in the history of the region. The Pentagon and the so-called intelligence community spent decades lying to American presidents and the American people about their puppet government in Kabul, and it was always going to end this way.
And ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about making Afghanistan into the United States or a, quote, Western democracy, first off, I reject Western democracy. Okay, we don't have a democracy in America. Go study your supreme law of the land. Go study our founding documents. Our founders warned repeatedly against democracy, first of all. Second thing you need to understand is if we want to help countries become like the United States, do you do it through conquer, through force, through war? Or do you do it through example, through leadership, through kindness, through love, through free markets, through, I can go on and on. We need to be the beacon on a hill if we really want nations to become like the United States and have the freedoms that we have. Leading by example is the key. Following the Prince of Peace is the answer. Using the checks and balances that hold governments to account is the credit of solution. Okay, these opportunities are clear to see for all those who are willing to open their eyes, all those who are willing to have a sound mind and a firm hand on the truth. I say the truth. And the problem that I have is, you know what? All these whacked out hawkish folks or dove folks or whatever else in our, quote, international policy landscape, it's all a big lie. Every one of those people have an agenda that betrays our Christian peaceful desires as a nation and as a people. Okay, every one of them betrays that. You can't tell me any justifiable reason we're there that doesn't betray that. Well, they're bad to their people. Yeah, well, you're bad to our people, too. You're trying to lock us down and lie to us about the coronavirus and make us believe in psychotic ideas that are not founded in science. And when we question the science, you call us terrorists. And if we really push and prove the science that you're wrong, you say, well, the science is evolving and changing. And then you lie, and you lock us down and destroy us. Who's worse, the Taliban for making the women wear burqas? Or government like Anthony Fauci, who says Sam's a terrorist and shouldn't ever leave his house?
Yeah, Fauci's making our kids... Fauci's making our kids wear the equivalent of the American burqa to school.
I'd prefer a burqa to a diaper, though. just kind of saying. But I look at this, James, and I go, look, these two are tied together unequivocally. So next hour, we're going to get into the lies, the propaganda via the coronavirus and the discussions that are happening now. Because I see a parallel between liberty for the Taliban, or the lack thereof, or whatever you want to say, freedom-based principles versus in our own land a different pretext for the same agenda of liberty versus tyranny. Let's compare them, shall we? You are listening to the one and only think tank known as Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. James Edwards co-hosts with me for 2 hours his award-winning broadcast every Saturday night, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. Meantime, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, We can and will indeed restore our grand old republic. But folks, you got to get engaged. You got to get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.